Yo, what's going on, everybody? It is 1 p.m. here in Crystal Lake, Illinois. That means it's time for another live stream. Today is Tuesday, March 21st, 2023. Today, we're going to have Tommy Runs on the live stream today. I know it's not Thursday for happy hour, but I just thought that, you know, I just wanted to talk to a friend today. So we'll bring in a friend. He's been on multiple times. He's actually running a little bit late, so he's not here yet. So as soon as he does, he just messaged me. So he's coming. But as soon as he gets here, we'll loop him in. But in the meantime, we'll get started with the normal podcast stuff. For everyone listening on the audio-only version, hopefully you're having a good run today. I had a very weird run today, and it's kind of a secret for now, because it's going to be for a fun video on Wednesday. But yeah, it was a nice little experiment. It's something that I've been cooking up for a little bit, so it'll be fun to finally put it all together. Today was the culmination of it, and definitely had some interesting results for this video. So my run was weird. Hopefully, if you're listening to this, your run is not weird. It's just nice. The weather was great, though. So that's always a plus. So I enjoyed that. And everyone watching this on YouTube later, but not live, welcome to you guys as well. Hopefully, you know, you did all your chores today. Got the dishwasher cleared out. All the dishes dried and back into the cupboard. Isn't that a nice feeling when that's already done? Sometimes I just set it for the evening. So I wake up to all the dishes clean in the dishwasher. I don't mind waking up that way either. But then I'm always worried that I'm going to wake everyone up when I'm emptying the dishwasher. So I prefer when I can empty the dishwasher before I go to bed. But that doesn't always happen. So, all right, let's see who we got here in the chat. We got Mark Peterson with a couple of wave emojis. Guys, I feel like I'm off center today. Am I off center today? Everything seems a little bit off. I don't know why. But Mark Peterson here says, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you, Mark. You guys got good weather over there? It's warming up here in Crystal Lake. And you guys aren't like, you guys aren't close, but you guys aren't that far. So hopefully you guys get good weather too. Super Injit says, yo, what's going on? The best part about spring break is knowing that I can go as far as I want and take as long as I want on my daily runs. Isn't that a really liberating feeling? That's like the best when you're like, ooh, I got time to go long today. That's just a nice feeling. I like that. Cuddle says, hi, everyone. Looking forward to the stream. I also got the ASICS Gel Nimbus Lite in South Africa. That was a surprise. I didn't expect it here, especially a year after its release. It only got there now? That's a surprise. That's a real surprise. Well, hope you like it. That was a good cheer. I feel like it was a good predecessor to the Nimbus 25. And where's mine? Mine's over here. It's still a shoe that I feel like, you know, I've kind of relegated it to the shoe shelf, but I feel like this is a really comfortable shoe. I might have to bust it out for some summer wear. I don't know. I really do like this one. Sean Devlin says, hey, everyone, ran my first speed workout in months this morning. All right. He said, felt super during it and feel relatively good now, so I'll call it a win. I'll call that a win, Sean. That's great news. I'm glad to hear that. Kevin Bandy says, hello, with a lot of exclamation points. I think that's, I can't count fast or anything like that, but I'm pretty sure that's 14 exclamation points. all right. This is a good question. Super Ninja wants to know, has anyone bought proper running shoes for their kids? I was looking at Noblast 2s for my six-year-old, but wondering if maybe that's overkill. I am someone who does look for running shoes for my kids. There's not a lot of really good options out there. And that's a shame, I think. Because like, even I bought Novablasts. I don't know if they called them Nova Blast 2s, but I bought like kids Nova Blast for my daughter for cross country season, and it's not FF Blast foam in there, you know. So it's just like I'm not even sure it's flight foam. It's probably more like the Gel Excite, that foam. Was that flight foam? I'm trying to think. Where is that shoe? So it's not like, even when they're like, look like running shoes and they call them like kids Nova Blast, they're not always, it's not the same foam. So it's kids foam. And so like, it's very much price point oriented. So it's kind of a shame. The good news is like, your kids will grow up soon. So they'll be able to get like real running shoes soon. I think for a six-year-old, maybe it's probably overkill. You don't need to find it unless your kid has big feet. and then you could just try to put them in like a woman's shoe, because those will get real small. But you know, otherwise I wouldn't worry about it too much, because your kid's not going to be doing like a ton of mileage. You shouldn't be at 6 months anyway. So, or probably shouldn't be, unless the kid really wants to. I don't know. I wouldn't worry about it too much. So I think it might be a little bit overkill. All right. Looks like we got Tommy in here. So let's bring him on. Tommy, what's going on? Tommy brought his giant poster. Now it has full billing.
I just want to do.
Well, you know, I'm glad, because before the other recording I have, the resolution wasn't great, so we couldn't see it. But it's almost life size.
It is.
When you
it
put
is.
It next to each other. How are you doing, man? I lost your audio. I don't know what happened to your audio, man. I think we lost it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
It's really cool.
It's just from New York.
And doing pretty good.
All right. Well, hold on, Tommy. Everyone's saying that there's a getting echo. Oh, now it's a lot of echo.
Kick me out.
No, I turned on your echo cancellation, and then I usually have to. Let me go to my settings. All right. Is that better now, guys?
Is it me?
I don't know. Let's hear in the chat. It's StreamYard is weird. Like every time a new person comes in, I got to toggle the echo cancellation on and off, and it just doesn't seem to matter. But it just is like, what, it has to just be the opposite from what it was last time. Every time I hear it fine.
I think it's better.
Okay. Let's give it a try.
There we go.
Yeah, Martha says, just look at the shoe walls.
Guys.
I lost your mic. I'm gonna
go with that. My shoe wall is better than yours, Mike.
You got a lot up there. I like it. Is yours arranged by color? Is that what's going on over there?
Not at all. It's arranged by brand.
Okay.
What do you got going on? You just threw it up there?
Yeah, I kind of started. Well, like I don't have enough shelves really, because I only have this many shelves, so I can't get the angle any different. If I had more, I would arrange them by shoe type, like racing shoe, tempo, daily trainer, max, and then trail. But for now, I'm kind of got like an Adidas shelf, an ASICS shelf, a New Balance shelf. Although, like, you know, this is a Salomon, so it's just kind of random a little bit. This is a New Balance shelf up here. So I'm trying to arrange them. This is like another ASICS shelf.
See the ASICS shelf there. I see the ASICS super shoe lineup right there.
Yeah, well, I had like three of the same one, you know, so I was like, that makes sense. You got to put them together.
Yeah, they have to be together. You know, you keep the kids together as much as possible.
Yeah, Scott says his shoe shelf is by brand. Which I also think makes sense. The other thing that I was thinking is like, after a while, like if you get a big enough shelf, should you do it by year? Like which shoes not like at the same time? You know what I mean?
Have you seen that thing on Instagram where like the guy has like this room, like it's like he has high ceilings and it's like floor to ceiling shoes?
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
Yeah, I've seen some of those and I'm like,
it's a bit excessive.
Those rooms are really like for the people that have like 16 pairs of Jordan 1s or whatever, you know, I'm like, I mean, I'm glad that they have a hobby and they're super into that, but I'm like, that's a lot of money to spend on holding your shoes up. I mean this wasn't expensive, but it's not cheap either, you know.
Yeah,
so I don't know, I guess I'm just everyone thinks that they're doing it right and everyone else is a little bit over the top.
No, I mean, whatever you're doing, Co, you're doing it right. But yeah, man. So yeah, New York, I was echoing, so I wasn't able to think, but yeah, just got back from New York on, yesterday.
Okay.
Had a really good time at the New York City half.
It was cold, right?
It wasn't even that cold. It wasn't that cold. It was like 30 degrees, wind chill, like had it feeling like it's 20, you know,
that's a little chilly for racing.
Really windy. It was perfect weather for racing to me.
What was it, a headwind?
I'm being super sarcastic. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. It was terrible. They had to like put ice down. I had to put salt down in front of all the water stations because.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
Some people said that they were like when they would grab a water cup, it was like had a nice little thin layer of ice film over it.
No way.
Yeah, it was pretty. It was rough. It was a headwind here and there. It wasn't. Have you run the New York City half?
I have not.
So like, one of the boulevards or something, FDR maybe or something. I don't know. One of the straight, it was like maybe from like mile of one of the straight shots. It was very windy headwind, but there were like some guys that were like maybe like 6 foot, you know, running around at the pace that Erica and I were running. Mm-hmm. So we were like tucked in behind them for a bit and they kind of served as a nice little, you know, pacer blocker for us.
Okay.
Very, very cold, very windy. Ended up being a decent day for me. So I'm like happy with it, but I still will complain until, you know, further notice.
It's hilly, right?
It is hilly. Mm-hmm. It's like the bridge, the Manhattan Bridge is ridiculous. Okay. It literally goes.
That's a giant bridge. It's very steep.
It goes up forever.
Yeah.
But the downhills was decent. But yeah, there's some good rollers in there and you do find yourself like climbing a couple, you know, it's like mile three, six and nine or something like that was like when it got a little crazy.
That's a lot of crazy for a half marathon.
Yeah, I know. Like, and I could see though it being like if you were used to hills and you kind of trained on hills, I could see it being a fairly decent course because like mile four through seven is pretty much all downhill and flat. Maybe four through eight.
Okay.
So it's a nice, there's a nice distance there where you can just kind of let it go. Mm-hmm. But you have to be ready for hills at the beginning and the end.
Oh man. I don't like hills at the end. I think that's just mean.
You come into like Central Park and the last 400 meters is a slight uphill turn.
Okay. Like and the New York Marathon? Is it the same as the New York Marathon finish or different?
I think it's the same area, but it's coming from a different direction.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cause right. Like the New York City Marathon, the New York City finish was a downhill, right?
No. It was kind of uphill. I mean, it's not a huge grade, but I don't think it was down. It felt like it was slightly uphill.
Yeah, like that. Well, like the finishing shoot, like the last 100 meters was pretty like sail in, you know? Mm-hmm. This one was like your climb. You're like kind of fighting through
Ugh.
A little hill.
That's mean. I'm glad I didn't race that one.
Yeah. I mean, if I had a choice, I would definitely have picked LA, you know?
Okay.
I did have a choice, but I didn't know that it was going to be, you know, 30 degrees and windy.
Yeah.
But yeah, LA is really hilly too, but LA seems like it's kind of mostly downhill.
Yeah, but you would have had to run a marathon then instead of a half.
No, they had the charity half.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you had to raise money for charity.
Oh, did you? Yeah, that's why it's called charity half.
It's called charity half, I think. Yeah. I don't know what the half marathon course is. I don't know if it's just like the second half or what. But
I think it's the first half.
Yeah, there's a big hill in the first half, right by the Disney Theater. Mm-hmm. That one's pretty intense. There's a couple of hills if it's the first half. But you got like the first 5K is like mega downhill. So you can go out super hard if you wanted to.
Yeah.
Rob DiGennaro says it's true on the ice film on the water coming through the water stations. Mm. Calvin said there was mid-race slushies. Was there Gatorade on the course? Was the Gatorade frozen too?
I didn't stop to drink anything.
Oh, it was cold enough. You're like, I don't want to drink it.
Yeah, because if I, you know, I'm really bad already. Like in warm weather, like I will drown in a water cup if I, you know, because I'm just not good at the pinch and all that stuff. So like I'm like I can't do that today. Like I can't, you know, pour cold water all over myself. Just not a way to go.
Yeah, and so your time, you ran like 6:12s on average. Is that what it was that I saw?
Yeah, I think I don't even know the average, but I think it was 122 something. I don't even know what the average was, but it was a decent run.
And what's that for you? Like, is that a half marathon effort for you? Is that like something between half marathon and marathon, or where does that?
No, like so, yeah, that so it ended up being 6:11 average pace. My goal marathon pace is between 6:13 and 6:17.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I literally tried to do 10 miles at goal marathon pace and then try to cut down at the end. So I think that's why that dip a little bit to like the 6:11 because the last 3 miles were faster than all the rest. So that was the goal, just to kind of use it as a, you know, as a workout, and get right back to training. No, like, no heroic efforts, but it was cool.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a pretty big day, because that's 13 miles of work.
Yeah.
And that was exactly like, well, almost exactly 4 weeks from Boston, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then, so yeah, I did like a 2 mile warm up, and then 2 mile cool down. But it was a good way to check, you know, make sure all systems are go. But it was fun. I mean, it was hilly, and I kind of like, you know, I welcomed it though. Like, if I wasn't running Boston next, and I was running like a more flat course, then this would just be like ridiculous. But I kind of relished like the idea of like getting after it, going down hills, going up hills, and trying to check to see what the legs and the knee feel like. So it was a fun way to go.
Okay, and how's your body feeling after this race?
It's feeling pretty good. Like, I got back to it, ran yesterday. Like, I was just running before this call, before this live. But I feel like it's, you know, you got like the heavy race legs. That's all, you know.
Okay.
You know how it is. Like, when you just feel a little heavy, and hopefully over the next couple of days it kind of like shakes out. I have like a workout on Thursday again, so like right back to it.
Yeah, I mean, I had a longer run today. It wasn't a long run, but a longish run. And, you know, I'm hitting the paces that I wanted to hit for today, but everything just doesn't feel sharp. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that's kind of where I'm at coming off of Tokyo, but I'm like, it'll all come together.
Like, your legs feel fresh and stuff, or is it, you just feel,
I feel good, but like, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's mental or physical. I'm actually not sure. Where I'm just like, I'm hitting this, but it seems hard.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I want to do this for 26. You know, like, I don't want to do this for 3 hours. This is kind of like where I'm at, you know? And I'm like, I don't know if that's because my legs aren't feeling sharp, or, you know, I don't know. So,
because you're doing Boston, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, man, get it together, dude. Hurry up.
Yeah, you know, I got to figure it out. I figure, you know, I'm doing Cherry Blossom, not this weekend, but the following. And that I'm just going to use as like kind of like what you were doing, but just the 10 miles at marathon effort, and use that as kind of like, you know, that's 2 weeks out or 15 days out. That'll be a good kind of gauge of like where my body's at, you know? So.
Yeah. And I think it's a fun way to do it. Like, if you can sign up for any race during your marathon build or half marathon build, and obviously have some control, you know. It's a really cool way to get a workout in, a long run in, all that together with a lot of people, you know.
Yeah. Where, if you could have a race before a marathon, where would you put it, and what distance would you want to do? Like, if you're just getting ready to tune up, or whatever you want to call it, Rust Buster, you know, race predictor,
if it was like perfectly placed, I would say like 3 weeks. And I would do like a half marathon, I think. Because like, I think a 10 would be really cool, but it's like, if you, that half, it really gets you, it's long enough to like get you into like the right mindset of like, okay, like take it seriously, hit your marathon pace, you know. And if you pick a course that's like, that kind of mirrors what the experience will be for the marathon, it's a really cool way, like, get after it a bit. And it's not so short where it's just like you walk through the finish line, like, just like feeling like you could run another 25 miles. But you know what I mean? It's a cool way to kind of test the legs and get pretty tired, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Sean is saying that I can fun run Boston with Sean, and he'll hold the selfie stick.
I think that's the way to go.
Are you running with someone in Boston, or what are your goals? Is this like redemption tour part two, or what? Yeah. What's going on?
Yeah, we have no title for it, but yeah, this is definitely a plan to like go do what I wanted to do, you know, last year in Boston. So I definitely want to run a PR. My PR is like 2:48 right now, so I want to run a PR. It's going to be challenging and all that good stuff, but that's the goal. That's what I'm going for, and hopefully the day works out. Lance Woods is going to be going out there too.
He just ran the LA though. Or did he do the half?
Yeah, he did the half. He did the charity half, yeah. We're definitely going out there. I'm not sure what his goal pace is, but I'm assuming we'll be in the same area of the race.
Okay. It
should be a good time, man.
Go Running with Oliver says, so then you want to do a sub 2:45? Is that where you're at?
I'd like to. I mean, I think I was just talking to Gary. You know, I think you met Gary, right? Gary's a runner.
You know who Gary is? I'm not sure if we've ever met.
Yeah, maybe in like in Chicago or something like that. Yeah. He negative split Boston when he ran, which is nuts. And he PR'd that day too. So like, if I can just go the first half slower than I need to or can, then I feel like I'll have enough left to kind of like get through get through the Newton Hills with some with some pride.
Mm. Calvin says, then you should run with Megan. Then Megan Murray, didn't she want to go sub 245? I don't know what her goals are for Boston.
I'd love to run with her though. I'd love that. Cause like, Megan is, so you've run with Megan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, she's pretty much like, she's metronome, right? Like she's pretty like spot on with her paces and just runs the plan, right?
Yeah. She has a pretty good sense of what she's running, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that'd be nice.
See, I'm not sure pacing wise what I'm going to do. Cause I'm like, well, the first half is a little bit rolling, but mostly downhill. And like, I always feel like I don't take, when I run CIM, I feel like I don't take as much advantage of the downhills as I should, you know?
Like advantage like as in speed or advantage of in like conserving?
Well, like running a little, like kind of splitting the difference, like running a little bit faster than if I just did an even split the entire race, mm-hmm. but that would be a little bit less effort because it is downhill. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure like, because like when I ran Tokyo, I was just like, all right, well, this will be easy. Here's my goal time divided by like 8.5 or whatever, and just figure out what the 5K splits are. And that's easy to remember because same 5K split every time. That's the goal. Yeah. I don't know if like in Boston, it should be a little bit faster for like the first 16 miles, you know?
Yeah.
But I also just, I'm like, I don't know. It's my first time on that course. I don't want to kind of overdo it. But then, I mean, like, because I don't feel like at the end, either way, I'm going to be like, I had so much energy left. I should have ran harder. I don't think I'm going to feel that. But I also feel like, well, if I'm going to empty the tank anyway, you know, I might as well be a little bit more strategic about it. So that's kind of like where I'm back and forth.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I feel like if my thought, I guess, is like if you nail your splits, like if you nail gold marathon pace down, you know, in the first half of Boston. Then your effort pace, you know, is going to be 15, 20 seconds probably slower
mm-hmm.
than your actual time. So hopefully that would mean if you can like believe that and your body like feels that difference, then hopefully you'd be able to just hold your pace for sure through the hills, and then maybe even finish out strong.
Yeah,
because of that conserved energy, you know, like the further you dip under your goal pace going downhill, the closer you're getting to like actual effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam says, where'd it go? He says, run the downhills fast, but efficiently. I think, I mean, that's kind of like what I'm thinking. Cause like, I think once it starts getting hilly, I'm going to kind of take more of like an ultra runner's approach to it. And I'm not going to walk up the hills. Maybe I will, who knows, but I'm just going to be like, you know, no hard work up the hills is kind of going to be my general approach to it. So that way, like once we get close to the crest of whatever hill we're on, I'm ready to like, you know, go. Or like, I mean, basically even effort is kind of what I'm thinking. But I don't know. I'm like, I'm very happy with having a very slow splits between like 16 and like 20. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Cause I do want to feel good. Not that you're not going to feel good, but I don't want to feel like, oh, it's downhill, but I still feel like crap at the end. You know what I mean? That's kind of where I'd like to be.
Yeah, you don't want to be so trash that like you can't take advantage of like the downhills on the hills, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Frank says though, the stats do seem to support holding back until the top of heartbreak. Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm just not sure. I mean, I'm sure. Yeah, I know there's data, but I think there's lots of different ways to interpret that data.
It's like, but I guess like if you're hitting your pace, like. If you're right around your goal marathon pace going down for the first half of this race,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even like a couple seconds a little slower, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think that is holding back, you know, like you're still going fast. You're still really close to your pace. You're not losing much time at all, but that's holding back because you really could drop down to like, if your pace is 7 flat, you could easily be running 6:40s with, you know, same effort as 7. But if you run 7s, you're holding back essentially.
Yeah. 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 And you know what? Here's the thing. I'm gonna spend all this time thinking about it, and then I'm just gonna go out there and be like, I don't know, what's everyone else doing around here? And I'll just be start chatting people up and be like, what are you running today? What are you running today?
Yeah, right. And then you just start running.
Yeah, I think so.
I had a random question for you because we haven't talked since Tokyo, and I know it's like old news for you.
No, yeah.
What's your favorite part, your favorite one moment or favorite thing in Tokyo?
My favorite one thing in Tokyo? That's hard to say. I mean, the race was a big deal, you know? So, like, being in the corrals with people I knew, you know, with friends is really nice.
Oh, that's cool.
That was really cool. I mean, the finish was great because it was a great result, you know, and that's hard, you know, that's, you know, you can never begrudge that because you don't always get those. So I had like a great racing day, but I just think that, like, you know, being there with people that I've, you know, been working with and have become friends with, and I being able to share that experience with someone else and it not being like, this is my like little thing that I did by myself. You know, I feel like that was really important to me to be able to have that. So that's kind of like the very vague answer. I think the other, like a more concrete answer is I really like buying stuff out of the vending machines because you just don't, it's like playing a weird roulette. You know, you don't know what you're going to get.
Oh, really?
Same thing with like the, or like getting the stuff at like the convenience store because you just don't know. And I mean, it's not literally a roulette, but like, I don't know what I'm getting. And I would always try to pick the thing that didn't have any English on it. Well, with the food sometimes, because I didn't want to be like, I'm like, if I can avoid eating beef, then I'll avoid eating beef or pork or chicken, you know? Yeah. But like, for like the drinks, I'm just like, I'm going to pick the one that has no English on it and doesn't look like it gives any clues as to what, like if there's like a picture of an apple on it, I wasn't going to get it, you know? But if it was just like a silver can with writing on it, that's what I was going to get. So that's kind of how I approach things. I was just like, let's make everything a surprise.
You're a dangerous guy, man. I knew like when I met you, I could see in your eyes that you lived on the edge, you know?
I mean, if you call that living dangerously, then yes.
I got anxiety just hearing the fact that you didn't know what you were like drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, I mean, most of it wasn't great, but it was fun. It was fun to play the game.
So you obviously ran the Meta Speed Plus. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I ran in the, for New York, I ran in the New Balance Fuel Cell Super Comp Elite V3.
Yeah. Yeah.
I brought those back. I think, so I didn't, I wasn't a huge fan of them for the marathon when we ran in New York. But for a half marathon, I think that they're pretty cool because, I mean, they're faster, you know, it's a faster race, faster shoes, shorter distance. You don't need, you know, sometimes you don't need as much help and like, you know, all that bounce back and, you know, whatever. This is like, it's like a running shoe that's quick and snappy and it worked out. And I think for a 10 miler, it would be even better. And maybe even for a 10K, it would be even the best. Not the best, but it's best.
You think so? See, I feel like I always feel like the SC Elite is one of the mushier of the super shoes. Mm. And so I always feel like the longer the distance, the better it would be.
I didn't, because like through the marathon, like I just didn't, like when I feel like I needed, you know, like that feeling that you get when you like a shoe's really there for you. You know what I mean? I didn't feel... Like towards the end, I didn't feel like when my legs needed the most help, I don't know if it had it there for me.
Yeah. I think it was just that it was a hot day, man.
Oh, so I was basically just dead.
I think everyone was dead on that day.
Yeah, so yeah, even the people like with rocket boosters on their feet had some issues. Okay, I got it.
I think so. But, you know, I mean, I've done threshold work in the SC Elites. So I'm doing, you know, kind of like a little bit faster than half marathon pace. And I do like it there too. So
yeah,
I'm not going to say that that's wrong. That makes sense.
I just need to never run in New York again. That's pretty much what I figured out.
I mean, you had a good day. You just had a good day.
But I'm saying, like in November, it was 90,000 degrees in November, honest. And then I come back in March and it's, you know, basically a blizzard.
Yeah. You had the extremes. Are you running New York again this year?
I mean, based on my feelings at this moment, no.
No, you're not going to run the New York Marathon this year?
Are you running?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm going to, like, I think I'm going to just watch this one this year. film some of the elites coming through, film whoever else I know running, and kind of like capture it that way. Because that's what I did in Houston, and I've done that in New York before, and that, you know, I've enjoyed doing that. So.
And then Kipchoge will be there again.
You think so?
Yeah. Doesn't he have to? I mean, I have to, but he says he wants to get both of the majors, the last two.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would not assume that he'd wait till 2025.
Yeah.
To run New York. Why wouldn't he run it this year and then start training for the Olympics?
Okay. Well, yeah, that would be pretty cool.
You know, knock them both out in 1 year, Boston, yeah. New York.
Maybe if Kipchoge is coming, maybe I needed to get one of those gimbals and run like a P. Alvarez does with the big camera on the gimbal stick instead of just the GoPro.
Just go crazy, yeah, and run as fast as you possibly can.
The thing is, like, people ask me all the time, like, how long could you do Kipchoge challenge? I'm like, zero. Like, I can't. His 5K pace is faster than my, or like his 5K split, whatever, is faster than my mile. It's faster than my strides. So, like, how long could I keep both of them? Less than 15 seconds. You know what I mean? It's just like impossible.
You got to start running before he gets there.
Yeah. I did that in Houston, and Connor Mance just blew the doors right off me. I couldn't keep up with him. If you look at any of the footage, I'm in front of him for like a second, and then the next thing you know, like, I'm chasing him from behind. And then that's how it's just, they're so fast. I mean, they were running like 430 miles or something like that for the first couple miles. It was crazy.
I mean, it's ridiculous. Like, no human really should be able to go that fast, I don't think.
It doesn't make any sense.
I don't get it. Like, your strides, like, if I did a stride at 430, I think that I'd be more sore the day after one stride of that than like a half marathon.
I don't even think I could hit 430. I tried at Houston. I couldn't on that day. Look, we got a lot of dispute going on in the chat here. Go Running with Oliver says Kipchoge will be racing New York, and Lou says Kipchoge probably not going to run New York. Doesn't favor his style. And the Man of Run says he announced it officially, I think.
But I mean, I think the style thing, like, I mean, Boston isn't his style really either. Like,
yeah,
it's, but then people are like, oh, it's Boston's a hilly course, and New York's a hilly course. Kenya is super hilly. Like, where he trains is like, that's all they run on is hills. Like, their elevation gain every week is nuts. He just doesn't race on it because, like, why would you? You know?
Yeah. I mean, he runs hill, like, crazy hills at altitude. So, yeah. So yeah,
it just won't be like, he'll just, you know, what is Boston's record right now? If somebody knows that, that'd be great. Boston's like course record's probably what, like 203 or something like that, or 4 or 2. And then maybe he just, it can't be 202, but
no, I don't think it'd be 202.
But 203.
I don't think it's 203. That sounds more right.
203 sounds crazy.
And that is ridiculous.
That had to be that year when it was windy.
With the tailwind,
the illegal year.
Yeah. I mean, for a course record, they don't care if it's like it's not like sprints where it's like, oh, it's not record eligible today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think they do that.
Yeah. So I think, So I think he tries to break, I think he breaks the record.
You think so?
I think he breaks the course record. Yeah.
I don't know if he, I feel like if he's winning, I think he's just going to cruise control it in. You know,
I think cruise control for him, I think, is breaking the record. You know, like, if somebody competes though, like, because, like, you got that kid, the Daniel guy, who passes out every year or every race that he, like, you know, he passed out in the Olympics, and then he passed out in Tokyo.
I don't remember who that guy is.
The young guy, like, he runs for Adidas, and like, he was the one that, like, fist bumped like Kipchoge, like, in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And then, like, he passed out from he was leading New York. Remember, he was leading New York by a ton.
Don Nascimento?
Yeah. He was under world record pace.
Yeah.
And then passed out. So if he's there, he's going to take it out hard. And then so is whoever else is going to be there. And I think that he has to respond.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I mean, he's been beaten before. He lost in London that 1 year, right?
He had an earache, though. You got
He had an ear. Is that what? Is that
well,
what
he said earache at first, and I think it was like a hip issue.
Oh, okay. Sean says that the record for Boston is 203.02. Frank says you can't get a world record in Boston. Yeah, no. I think I knew that because it's too much of a downhill. But we're talking about course record, you know, like the 203.
He could break the course record for sure.
You think so? I mean, I figure here's the other thing to think about though. Like, it's not just like I'm gonna win anyway, so I'll run a 203.30. If he breaks the course record, there's like a giant prize purse. If you do that, you know. So he's gonna be like, might as well run 30 seconds faster today.
Of course, right?
I don't know, man. It's like at some point he's gonna age, right? Is this the year where we start to see him age, or is like?
Dude's already 52, bro. Like, we might as well just act like the age thing doesn't matter because he's 52 years old and he's running like these paces and, you know, whatever. He's doing great. I think we'll see him until 60.
He's going to wait to get the seventh. He wants to win the first 7-star marathon, whenever that is.
Yeah, he'll be 60.
Go Running with Oliver is wondering, do you think Kipchoge will be on the new Martin bicarb system?
He was on the Martin bicarb system like 3 years ago, probably.
Maybe. I don't know. Have you seen that? Have you tried it?
No, I haven't, and I probably won't ever because it looks like – I mean, I'm sure it's amazing. I'm sure you probably could run all your PRs like in 10 seconds, you know, without training. But it looks terrible.
it looks like you're drinking a science experiment.
It looks like something that Neo was eating in the Matrix. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's like, you know, like when they've done, I've read some tests on bicarb, and I'm sure like if Martin is releasing it as a product, they figure out a way to avoid this side effect. But like all the studies were like, it works in sprinters, but only in doses that are so high that you're like, you really have to like want that extra like 0.02 seconds because the explosive diarrhea is a real thing. Like that's like the way all the studies kind of read.
And then, yeah, people keep bringing that up, but I'm like, I mean, Morton's a good company. I mean, you know what I mean? I feel like there's something. I think all the goo, because you pour in, I saw Ben Johnson like making one. I think you pour in the baking soda or whatever. You know, those little pebbles or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think the rest of that goo stuff is probably just to make the explosive diarrhea less explosive.
Yeah. Do you think it's just like gel capulets or little minuscule pieces of like Pepto Bismol?
Yeah. The clear stuff is clear Pepto. So like it counteracts each other.
I don't know, man. I would be very nervous to do that one.
I mean, you might as well try it. You have to try it for the people watching.
That's a good point. I should probably really do.
I mean, like there's like a whole like culture and ecosystem of people that believe and trust in you to do all these things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ruben Serrano says Killian Drennan used it on at UTMB a couple of months ago. The athletes have tried it before.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I think people are talking about Kipchoge's age now. <That's it.
laughs> Ruben thinks Kipchoge is 38.
Well, I mean, it says that on Wikipedia, but come on, guys. You believe he's 38?
Yeah, I don't. Did you ever read what's the book? Adarnam Finn wrote it. He ran with Kenyans, and then he also wrote a different book about running in Japan for Ekiden.
No, I didn't see that.
But he wrote a book about training and running in Kenya. And he was like, you know, age is a weird thing, the way they treat it over there. Like, they don't put under 20-year-olds in the under 20 cross-country race. They put people that they think are like a JV in the under 20 race. And they might be 23, you know. But that's just how they will develop those runners. And then if you're better, then you go in the over 20 race, you know. So I just think that it's just like a, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh well, now he's getting international attention. We've been saying he's under 20 for the last 3 years, so I guess he's 17 when we started, so what does that make him now? You know, you gotta do some, I don't know. So I just think it's
I've heard that from another runner that was saying that, like, it's, you know, because the way that it works out is like, if you're 22 or 21 and it's like you're just getting into it or whatever and you're good, you know, why would you not, like, and they don't ask for birth certificates, why would you not just say you're, you know, 18?
Yeah.
And run and then like come up the ranks and get, you know, known and start, you know, making some money, you know, for yourself. So then you just have to like keep it at that age forever. So in reality, I would be willing to bet he's like, I feel like he's like 41 or 42. Man, I'm 38.
Yeah, I'm 43.
Have you seen Kipchoge?
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows how old he is, I guess.
I'm going to text him right now. Hold on.
Yeah. Have you interviewed him before?
No, but I have his cell phone number on speed. Yeah. I'll be texting right now. Hey, bro, we have a conversation about your age. Could you just, won't tell anybody, but could you just tell me how old you
are? Settle a bet. Yeah. Super and just says, I'm reading that book about running with Kenyans right now. He also said that basically all the Kenyans have January 1st as their birthday.
That's hilarious. That's funny. January 1st. Same thing as like when you're like, how many drinks have you had? Two. Like,
yeah.
Automatic two, automatic January 1st.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, Shannon says, sometimes people look older when they're thin, but he's not 38.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, like, what are you going to do taper-wise for Boston? Are you pretty much in the taper now? I feel like 4 weeks is too long.
No, I'm going to start tapering. I'm right back to, I didn't taper for this race at all. So just, I hit 70 last week. And mm-hmm. I'll be like mid 70s this week and mid 70s the week after.
Okay.
I'll taper then.
Okay.
So yeah, I have some pretty hefty workouts and long runs coming up, mm-hmm. like, you know, with a lot of work in them.
Okay.
And then start tapering. So like, how are you going to do your play though? Like, I mean, you know, ramp up a little bit and then come back down.
Yeah, I mean, I hit like 67 miles or something like that last week.
Oh, dope. Okay.
The week before that was like 25, you know, but like last week was like, you know, back to kind of more normal.
Yeah.
And so I think for this week and next week, I'll be in the 70s and then we'll see how I do. I'll probably go to a shorter taper because the build isn't going to be as intense. It's more of just like, I got to really kind of feather it a little bit. You know what I mean? Like trying to find the balance of like, there's time to do a little bit more work and I'd like to focus on some more hills and doing work on the hills.
Yeah.
Just so like mentally and physically, I'm just not shocked by them when I get to see them later. And then like try to like play the balance where I don't want to feel tapered for the next 4 weeks, but I don't want to feel like I'm underwater, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's a thin line. But yeah, I didn't realize it, but you train high mileage. You run a lot of miles.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like the slowest 70 mile a week guy that, you know, you know? So I just, yeah. I mean, I like, 8 to 10 miles a day, you know,
is it just because you like running.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it helps with the reviewing the shoes and, you know, I like kind of to be out between like an hour and a half to an hour 45, I feel like is a fun amount of time to be out.
Yeah.
And that's for me and my easy pace, it's about 10 miles. So that's kind of, you know, what I do. And, I'm not super high mileage though. Like I might get it like an 80 mile week, but not when I'm training for a marathon, you know?
Yeah.
Like if I'm just having a lot of fun and like in the summer and running a lot, it'll be that high, but that'll be kind of like on accident just cause like, oh, well, I went on a long run by this one park and I did a double loop or whatever. And then the other day I just went a little long, but for training for a marathon, I try to stay under 80 right now. Mm. Just cause I feel like if I go that higher than that, I can't do that many miles and have intensity. And I'm fit enough to get to where, you know, I'm fit enough to run for 3 hours at a time. Now I would just like to have each like step be more efficient. So I'm trying to work on more power, trying to work on more efficiency, kind of things like that.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, cause I think I did like plus 80 miles for like the last Boston block.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like it's like, even though it's only about 10 miles more than where I'm at right now, just that extra 10 miles per week is just was just too much to, I mean, I had to do a double, two doubles a week for a little bit there. And then like you're still doing intensity, doing long runs, doing a workout. It was a lot. I think that like the 70, right around the 70 is a sweet spot for me.
Yeah. I mean, with that being said, like I say that now, but like, I don't know, maybe next year I try an 80 to 85 mile per week kind of build. I think that like, you know, what feels like too much now doesn't always have to be what's too much. You know what I mean? And so like, like we were talking about age. I'm like, I don't know how many more PRs do I got in me? But then I look at people like Ken Rideout. I'm like, that dude is like 10 years older than me. And he's like 20 minutes faster and still getting faster. I'm like, I don't understand. Right.
All under sub 230, you know, like, what the heck is that all about?
Yeah. Brandon Palmer says, Co got to do 100 plus mile weeks like Tiger. Then you'll be running 230s. Yeah. I think, you know, I could do 100 mile a week. It's just like all the miles will be really, my body will be buried. I won't get anything out of it because my body will just be too tired, you know?
Yeah, that's I'd be junk.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so much that it's, yeah. Yeah, I guess junk mile would be a good way to put it. Like my easy pace starts to slow, you know, like my workouts just aren't as good. And I just feel like, you know, the way I see a lot of marathon training is like, you got to figure out like the balance. You got to get the rhythm right of the stress and the recovery. And if there's just too much stress, whether it's too many workouts or too much mileage, like your body doesn't respond well enough. And I just feel like it's kind of like your body can either respond by getting stronger or it can just go into like flight mode and be like, I don't know, whatever we need to do to get through today. But like, we're going to spend all our energy on getting through today and we don't have anything left to build more for tomorrow kind of thing. That's kind of.
I mean, no excuses though, but like, I feel like in order to do all that, you got to be able to be in bed by 8 o'clock or 9 at the latest. You got to have some time to sleep in. You got to, like,
yeah,
your schedule has to flex around that many miles. Like, it just has to.
Yeah. And then like the sleeping more is like always the thing that's like, I'm like, I don't know. That's kind of a lot. How bad do I want this? I'm not sure.
What's your average like? So what do you average sleep every night? Like, what do you like, 6 hours?
My sleep is still pretty messed up from Japan and Germany. Mm-hmm. And so like, I haven't been on my regular routine, but I'd say more of a regular routine for me is like, I'm kind of asleep by 10-ish. I try to go to bed between like 9 and 9:30, and I'm usually asleep by about 10. And then I'll wake up anywhere between like 4:30 and 5 on when I'm in like a rhythm. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been that way lately, but so what's that? 6.5 hours, 7 hours, maybe.
Yeah, man. One time, like for one week, bro, I was like seven to 9 hours every night. Like, I think the average of that is like 8. but I was like 8 hours every night for like a 1 week, and I felt so good. And then I slipped one night, like I just like stayed on my on Instagram a little too long, and then next thing you know, I'm back into like no man's land of like 5 to 6 hours.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's like, well, like the sleep made you feel good. The Instagram probably didn't make you feel all that good, you know?
I mean, Instagram feels so good. Like when you're scrolling and everything's cool, you're getting like likes, you know?
Yeah.
I know you don't really get that many views and like likes on your Instagram, or whatever, but some of us that like, you know, have like a real following on Instagram, we get all these types of likes. It feels great, man.
Yeah. Adam has a question for you. Do you do periodization? Aren't there times when you shouldn't be doing speed, for example? It seems like you're always training for a marathon. Like, are there times when you're not?
Well, like if I don't have a marathon on the schedule, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then I've done like parts where I'm working on, you know, 5K speed and stuff like that. And just more like having fun, more like in the summer. Summer is like when I normally try to have fun, go after some faster paces. If that's what you mean, then yeah, kind of.
Yeah. So like for me, last summer I went speedy because I was like, I've been doing a lot of marathon training. The summertime is so hot. So I'm just like, I don't like to marathon train in the summer. That's why I don't love fall marathons as much anymore. Cause I'm like, I just don't want to do a 20 mile long run in August. So I did speed work. I tried to do a fast 5K, but like normally what I've been doing is in the winter using that as my kind of like off season and just doing easy miles and just running in the cold and just chilling out. But I've started really enjoying these spring marathons. So I haven't had that many breaks, but I think this summer is going to be a bit of a break and just running a bunch of easy miles.
Yeah. I think, I don't know what I got cooking this summer. I don't think it's going to be fun though.
What? You're just like, summer's going to stink.
Summer sucks already. hopefully it's not fun. Like, put it like that. I want something to happen. And if it happens, it won't be fun, but it'll be fun in a way. Like, it'll be type two fun.
Okay. Okay. That's very mysterious. Hopefully I'll have to figure out what that is pretty soon.
That was weird. I shouldn't have just brought it up. It was strange. Sorry, guys.
Eric says, I'd pay a genie to get 8 hours of solid sleep per night for a week.
Wait, do genies take Cash App?
Yeah, imagine. See, that's why I always say that sleep is the most expensive recovery tool, you know? Because, like, who can afford more sleep? It's really expensive. It doesn't cost you money, but it costs you all this other stuff, you know? Like, that's why I always say that sleep is the most expensive.
So my kids aren't here at the moment, so but let's talk about this.
Yeah.
If I could just find a way to get rid of them,
yeah, you know,
just for like a couple of years, I probably would get so much sleep for like,
yeah, yeah, but like, do you want to do, I mean, you could send them to boarding school, you know?
Oh yeah. But you know, see, boarding school is more expensive than my route that I'm trying to go. I'm just trying to like not have them.
You know, yeah, like, I mean, like, but that's a way to pay to have more sleep. You know, you wouldn't get to see your kids as much though. So, I mean, that's why I always like have a hard time with that idea of boarding school.
Okay. How old are your kids?
6 and 11.
All right. Okay. So mine's 12 and 15.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily need to see them. You know what I'm saying? Especially the 15-year-old. She is in girl, boy, no offense to any of the girls or the boys out there.
Yeah.
But listen, if I didn't see her for a little bit, you know, as long as I know she's safe and good.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. But I mean, like that's, you know, she's going to go to college soon and then you won't see her for like months at a time. So, you got two, three years left, you know?
I just gotta ride this out. People go like, "Oh, you're gonna be so sad when she leaves." There's no chance. I mean, I'll be so happy for her. You know, I'll be so happy for her.
You don't think you'll miss her? I feel like you'll miss her a lot more than you think.
I don't like miss her, like, you know, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I miss living with my mom. I miss my mom, but like,
yeah,
you know, just enough to like text her, say, "Hey."
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Same.
I feel like you're pretty involved with your kids, and I'm pretty involved with my kids, and I just feel like when they move out, I'm gonna be like, oh man,
I'm spending time with them now as a selfish reason. I'm trying to bank all the time I can while they're still living here. And so when they're gone, I'm like, hey, look, I did so much for all the stuff. Leave me alone. You're gone. I'm empty nesting right now.
Yeah. Oh man. Sean says he's considered a sleep tent in the backyard, like Rich Roll does. Have you ever thought you can't do that in Michigan?
I mean, I could. It just would be really cold, and I don't like the cold like that.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it in the summer, you know, a couple months.
I mean, the problem is whether I'm in the backyard or not, like, I still got to get up at 6 to, like,
okay, yeah,
respond with them. I don't know what – Rich's kids are older, I think.
I think he still has one teenager, right, maybe, and then the boys are older.
He's been on the roof in the backyard for years, though, so it's like
– Yeah, but he lives in Malibu. Right. So it's like you can do that there. That's just indoor outdoor living. He calls it like a tent, but it's like glamping. It's not like it's not a Coleman. You know what I mean?
It was a tent on the roof at one point, and now he's got like gyms. He's building a gym back there and like
what do they call it? Like a yurt or something like that? And like it's a structure.
Yeah, yeah. It looks pretty sweet.
It does. I mean, I've seen some videos about it. I'm like, oh, this is like when they say tent, they mean like when they had tents like in wartime where there's like you could feel the field hospital inside.
I think in the beginning I think he was probably more like Hard Knocks Life a little bit, like it was like the first night, and then
I think
he's doing pretty well in life, so I think he's like, let me upgrade really quick.
Okay.
My tent would be a tent.
Yeah, okay. So if you could, like, if there was something like that you could have and upgrade, like you hit it big and you upgrade, like what would you have? Would it be a tent that you could sleep in like that? What would be your thing? Would you make a home, like nicer home gym, or
Well, oh, like if I hit it big, or when I hit it big. Let's just do when I hit it big.
When, yeah, you got to put it out there. When you hit it big.
What would I throw in the backyard?
What would be like your splurge? Like his is sleep, you know, like that's a big thing for him. You know, I think he does a lot of meditating out there too and all that. So like, that's like one of the things he does to center himself. He does it for himself. What would be like the splurge that you have for yourself?
Can you go first?
You go first? Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like I already kind of did it. You know, we're out in the suburbs now. I got like a nice kitchen upstairs where I can cook, and I got a, like a, I mean, it's an unfinished basement and it's chilly down here and I'm right by the water heater. So sometimes there's a lot of noise, but I don't know. I mean,
come on, man.
I keep telling my wife, like, good luck getting me out of the suburbs now. I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I'm comfortable here. It's nice. I mean, I think if I just had like a, you know, we got a gas cars and stuff. So I wish I had an electric car. Cause if you do, you have to drive everywhere here.
Sure.
That always makes me feel bad, but like, I don't know, maybe a nicer studio. But I don't want to leave my house. You know what I mean? That's a nice thing. I just like after dinner, I'd come downstairs. You know, if I had to drive somewhere, I'd be like, I'll wait till tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm not gonna do that. I thought about it. I think I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
So I would finish out the basement, mm-hmm. but I'd have like a door to the basement that's like surveillance cameras. Like you'd have to like it only I could get in.
Okay.
Really.
Like a layer.
Yeah, like a layer, like a real one, like one of those like Mission Impossible type, you know, things that like the kids could never get into. So mm-hmm. I could really have my own space and have I'd have a full gym down here. Like I'd almost have to never leave. I'd have a refrigerator. I could do that now, really. I should do that now. Just get a lock on the door.
Just lock the door.
You know, like a cold plunge. I don't even cold plunge. Like I don't even like cold water. But I would get a cold plunge just because it would like the look would be really great. You know what I mean? Like if I panned over and I had like a cold plunge and like one of those Woodway like
triples,
you know?
Yeah, you know, I think that would be a nice splurge to have like a Woodway. You know what I mean? Like I'd like to be able to have like, I don't want to take over this entire basement. My wife and I were just talking about it. Like, what do we do with this basement when we actually finish it at some point? But I would like to like have like a nice treadmill, just like a setup where I could like, well, both so my wife could use it, but also that like I could just drop a camera at any time, you know, if I ever needed to film something. So I feel like that would be nice just to have like a, like even, I guess an even more full home studio. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, cause going to Planet Fitness, I mean, I go to Planet Fitness sometimes, like when it gets like snowy here, I mean, that's cool or whatever, but it's a judgment free zone. And I'm really big into like judging people. So it's like you do then, you know, like you,
yeah. How you want a place where there's more judgment.
I want, yeah, like in this, if I had like a Woodway or two Woodways here and came here with like weird form, you know, or something,
yeah.
You know, I'm judging out loud. You,
like over the door, be like judgment level moderate.
Yeah. It depends on the day. Like if I had a rough day or whatever, judgment level extremely high, perceived.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
I think that would be the thing.
Yeah. Lou says he would want an outside sauna. That's a winner.
That is a winner. Good one.
You know, one of my neighbors down the street, they just put one in. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, we live in a subdivision and stuff. I just feel like your neighbors are kind of all in your business. I'm not sure I'd want the outdoor sauna for that. Oh, wait. Sauna is the one. That's a hot tub that I'm thinking about. Sauna is the one that's the steam room. Is that what sauna
is?
Yeah. So that's like the one that's room, dry heat.
Yeah.
Which one is dry heat?
That's the sauna, but you put like the water on the coals and it gets real, like, you know.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I don't know.
The outside sauna, I think, is like the wooden thing that like has like the heat, the stove in it where you put water on the rocks, you know?
Yeah.
And, like it's real steamy in there and hot.
You know, the thing about that though is like I don't even like coming out of the shower because like it goes from hot to cold, you know? Like, especially in the winter, I'm just like, I'm just going to stay in here for a little while longer.
And my water bill's nuts.
But like if it had that outside, like you got to walk from outside your house to the outdoor sauna to the inside, I'm not sure I can handle that.
Are you hip to like All Day Running Company?
I know who they are. Yeah.
They do the stupidest stuff and it looks really fun. I mean, they'll go from like the sauna, like the super hot sauna, and then they just jump into ice water or back and forth. And I'm like, what is happening here? And why would you want to be uncomfortable? So many different variations of uncomfortable.
You know, I've done that before in Detroit. There's a Turkish bath place.
It's Where?
a
It's a weird spot, man. There's no sign on the door. It used to be some sort of old like concert hall. One of my buddies got married in Detroit. He's from Detroit. And we went to this place. It was in the middle, like across the street was like an empty lot. And behind the empty lot was like a burned out old house. So it was like a weird spot. And in the basement of this place, there's like a really, really hot room. Mm-hmm. Where there's like a dude that will like, it's Turkish. So like they whip you with the things. I didn't do that. I just sat in the room. It was hot enough. And then there's like a cold pool. And then there's a dry heat room and a wet heat room. And it was weird.
Yeah, but it like, sounds pretty, I've never, yeah, it sounds pretty weird. I feel like there might have been alcohol involved in this night.
There's some people that do that stuff all the time and they're like super into it. And I was like, this is okay. You know, I'm like, I'm glad I did this. I'm happy to do this on this wedding weekend. But I'm like, I don't know that I would be like a regular here. But there are some people that are like regulars. Because upstairs, there was like food and stuff. And everyone could kind of hang out. And it was, there was parts that were co-ed, you know. And I was like, this is fun.
Yeah. Can I ask a question to the people watching?
Yeah.
Random. What's your go-to like actual meal the night or day before a marathon?
Okay. That's a good question.
What's the go-to meal the day before, like if you could pick it, like the meal?
Okay. While we're getting some answers, Go Running with Oliver says Turkish in air quotes underground basement. Dude, the spot was weird, but my buddy Tamori is a little bit weird, so it was very much in character for I just went with it. Calvin said cold plunges, sauna, red light therapy. Joe Rogan would be proud. There was no red light therapy, just so we know. And it wasn't a cold plunge. It was just like a regular temperature pool. It's just that you go from being in like a super hot room to the pool. So it's like a kind of a like Korean like spa, you know, they have the same things. All right. Let's see. Adam likes to have pizza before a marathon. I'm a big fan of pizza before a marathon. I'm okay with the cheese. Some people have a hard time with it. Girl Running with Oliver likes plain pasta. Frank likes the Chipotle veggie burrito. That's a good choice. I like that one. All right. Steven C. giving us some context. He's UK based. He says a jacket potato, cheese and beans.
Is what's a jacket potato?
I think that's a potato in the skin. Like a baked potato.
That's what they call it.
I think that's what that's it. I think
that's so instead of baked potato, it's a jacket potato. Like it has a jacket on.
I think that's amazing.
I'm going
to move. I'll have to explain that to us.
I got to move out of this country because they don't call it jack potato here. And I don't like it.
Calvin says he likes a home cooked meal ideally, but I'm a big rice carbs person over noodles. Oh, okay. So he wants rice carbs. Mm-hmm. Shannon also wants a rice. She's a sushi and smoothie the night before. I feel like those things will fight in my belly.
I feel the sushi part. I'm digging it. Yeah. I'm vegan, so like I'll do like the vegetarian sushi, but or rolls or whatever. But the smoothie part kind of throws me off a little bit.
Yeah, but like you know the when you go with like the sushi, think that's a lot of salt that you could be getting in. So that's good.
Yeah.
Scott wants some kind of grilled chicken, potatoes, and bread. That sounds pretty nice. Mm-hmm. Sean wants pasta with a little bit of marinara and garlic bread, maybe.
That's a win, I think.
Silly Caitlin says pasta or moderate serving of meat, like white chicken with rice, something boring. Yeah, I feel like boring is like a good way to go. On the other hand, Eric Trapp is like bolognese. Try to keep it high protein and carb, low oil and fiber. There we go. Aldemir says a large chicken pho. Nice.
Some good choices. You guys are good.
Juliana also wants to go with the pasta bolognese. Seems like a lot to me. Seems heavy. I don't know.
Man, I had pizza the night before in New York, and it was
okay.
I found like I love doing the subway thing and like finding it like looking like an idiot trying to like navigate that.
Yeah,
it's really cool. I like doing that whole thing. Found a little place and ate some vegan pizza.
Where'd you have it? Do you remember the name?
Vinny's maybe. Vinny's Pizza, I think it was, or something like that.
Yeah, that sounds like you're making it up. Vinny's.
I mean, dude. Like,
I don't know. That sounds right.
You're like, oh, you're just calling your name, huh? Okay.
That's funny.
No, I think it was actually Vinny's Pizza. Yeah.
Okay.
See, Vinny's. Yeah. Don't question my integrity. Vinny's Pizzeria.
There you go.
148 Bedford Ave in Brooklyn. They had a vegan cheese pizza, and then they had a vegan vodka something pizza thingy or whatever. I got two slices of both. And then I made the mistake of throwing them in the box and then getting back on the train and then going back to the Airbnb to eat them because they were cold by the time I got back. Oh, yeah. But they still had like a really good crunch.
There you go.
You know?
A crust. Steven C has confirmed that jacket potato is baked potato in the skin.
Yeah. Okay. Forever at this point, from now on, I will never say baked potato again except for that moment just then.
All right.
Jacket potato from now on.
All right. I think that's going to be a good place. We got a lot more answers in here. But I think we got to leave it there, man. We're at an hour and 5 minutes for today. But thanks so much, Tommy, for stopping by again. We're going to have you come back another time, too. It was a lot of fun.
I like rambling nonsense this whole time.
Yeah. Awesome. Remind everyone where they can find you if they want more of Tommy.
Oh, Instagram. Of course, I'll be there all night just following like things, swiping.
Tommy, 10 p.m. Eastern. That's the time to get Tommy.
Exactly. Tommy Runs, TOMMIE_RUNZ.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Tommy. And thanks, everybody. Tomorrow, we'll see you again, same time as today, 1 p.m. Central Time. In the meantime, be safe out there, everybody.
Peace.